Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. I bet you thought I was going to forget the name of the show. I've done that before. I'm getting old and gray-haired.
You've never done that, have you? I mean, you've done some strange things, but I don't know that you've ever forgotten the name.
Yeah, I think I did
really.
Once. Yeah, I think so. I'm not real sure. You know, you forget things as you get older.
It was welcome back to another edition of the American Outdoorsman.
Could have easily said that, you know. But we said that for a lot of times.
Oh, yeah, a lot of years.
That voice you hear is my co-host, Mark Tobin, the greatest fisherman to walk the face of the earth. Notice I did not say he walked on water, but he gets real close. He's that kind of a gentleman. True, honest, sincere man.
Well, I am that.
Yeah.
We're recounting fishing stories.
Has the greatest lawn service in America. If you want your lawn to look like you're at Augusta, right. Call Mark Tobin. You that good?
We try hard, yeah.
We try. You know, Mother Nature rules your business.
Yeah. This year hadn't been all that bad.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, if you want to be in the outdoors, this is the weather right now. God, don't you love this time of year?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
These cool mornings. I mean, it is just spectacular. What a great time to be in the outdoors, whether you're mowing your yard or going out on a boat and going fishing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know.
I love it. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and, you know, the weather, you know, things are changing. This is a nervous time for me because of the fish are probably starting to think about winter pattern. Water temperature's dropping. It got down to 49 the other morning.
They haven't really started to move yet.
It'll get close.
I'm telling you, in the next couple. Well, you know, they're talking about 80s this week, so it may not happen this week. But within the next couple of weeks, they are going to start moving up from the main lake summer haunts. Yep. And there's some definite signs of fall out there. I've seen some red maples change in color around town. Beautiful reds. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of them, but every now and then a few here and there. And that's just a sure sign that the season be a-changing.
Well, you know, here's the basis of it, Mark, and we can talk about it all we want, but the shad are going to start moving.
That's exactly right. As the bait fish move, so do the game fish, and that's exactly right. And that's what they will be doing. They're going to be moving off the main lake. Hearing a few reports that they're starting to filter into some of these coves, and as that happens, the fish become shallower and shallower. And at Truman, I mean, they're already pretty darn shallow. They're still out on main lake stuff, main lake flats and that kind of thing. But they will be moving up into these creeks and coves. But, I mean, they're as shallow as 5 foot right now, 5 to 7 foot of water.
Is Truman high, up, down?
No, I think it's just a little low, maybe a foot low. So they're not running much water. But the fishing is just, if you want to catch crappie, as always, it's Truman Lake. It's just been so consistent, and they're just catching a ton. Minnows, definitely a little bit better. Now, 2 weeks ago, we're talking to Richard Bowling, Richard Bowling's Guide Service. He's just been spanking the fish. And a couple of weeks ago, they were so active, he was just pitching jigs, no minnows, no nothing, and they wanted it moving, not vertical jigging. And it's changed again. I mean, now it's back to minnows are better and vertical jigging. But still, I mean, it's not taking any time at all for him to go out and get limits of fish.
Wow.
But I would definitely probably take minnows along with you just to be on the safe side this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, it's a strange time. I get this way in the spring right before mushrooms and turkeys.
Yeah.
And then I get this way again with this deer season coming up, duck season coming up. Won't be long to hunt quail, pheasants, and that kind of thing. So Strange times.
Oh, it's just the best.
It is.
To me, this is my favorite time of year.
Yeah.
I love the change of the season. I love the smell outside. I love the cool mornings. I love the cool evenings. The fishing, just, it's the best to me of the year. Doesn't seem like the cold fronts affect them like they do in the spring. Mm-hmm. It's just definitely more predictable. The bite is more predictable in the fall.
You know, I don't mind, and I've talked to a lot of fishermen and some good guys that fish the circuit and all that stuff. I've talked to them over the years. Cold fronts are not all bad. They're not all bad.
Spring, I don't like them. I mean,
you got 2 days, maybe they'll turn off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And then you can pattern them.
Yeah.
You know, you can spank them. You can really work them over, you know. But it's just part of Mother Nature. I mean, you can't fight it, so you might as well enjoy it.
Yeah, figure out how to.
Got to figure out. Exactly. And that's the whole thing about, you know, if you want to be a good fisherman, figure them out. You know, figure out what's going on. Where are they at? Why are they doing this? They don't quit eating.
No.
I guarantee you they won't quit eating.
They just move.
Move. They might be eating out in 20 foot of water now.
Right.
Before they were up in 3 foot of water. But
might be a little more scattered.
Might be.
Once you figure out, once you catch one, you know, try to duplicate that again. You know, it's called pattern fishing, and that still holds true today as it did 30 years ago.
You know, what's weird, you know, I talk to a lot of guys that catch them big blue. I got a guy the other day caught a 64-pound blue on the Missouri River.
That's
a nice fish.
Yeah.
And he had a 46 and a 64, you know.
How fun.
And he said, it's pattern. Yeah, he said, people think I'm nuts, which I understand that, but we used to get down and look over the top, lean over the boat, and look down at the little whirlpools in the river. And there's little bitty subtle ones here, there, and yon. Well, that sometimes got a blue cat or a flathead laying in behind that little deal. You know, it's reading the river, it's reading the lake, it's ability to adjust.
Yeah, well, and that's the key.
Yeah.
Willingness to adjust. And it's easy as a fisherman to get stuck in a pattern. And you've had success doing something one way, and if it doesn't work that way, you don't experiment. But that's the key to being a good fisherman and catching fish on days that maybe you normally wouldn't have, and that is changing colors, changing locations,
exactly.
Doing something that you might not normally have done.
Sure. Try something different. You know, if this isn't working, there's no use being there trying it.
Right.
You're just beating a dead horse, you know, and just stay out there and figure it out. Move out to some deeper water, move into a shallower water, go from where it's clear to staying, do whatever you got to do, but you guys got to be able to adjust.
Right.
Those guys fishing those pro circuits.
Well, they do, yeah.
That's what they do.
The difference. They're good at adapting.
Yeah. Kevin Van Dam might be as good as there is.
Yeah, true.
He figures them out. He'll know where they're at. I've seen him fish out in the middle of something that I wouldn't even think about. And he goes out there and wins a tournament on something that's not there.
Yeah, everybody else overlooked.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not rocket science. It's the ability to adjust to your environment.
Yeah, and that's what makes it fun.
Yes. Yeah, it does what makes it fun.
For me, it is, you know, doing something different like that and having success. That's what it's all about.
Ran into a gentleman the other day. I got to tell you about this. I almost called you. He was in a parking lot at Perkins. He's pulling a boat. Sportsman's Outfitter and Marine.
Oh, is that right?
And got to talk to him. I said, do you know Joe? And he said, is that who owns? I said, yeah. He didn't, you know, he bought it there. He said, I don't know if I dealt with him or not, but he said, I probably did. I said, a tall, dashing, debonair gentleman.
The tall part might be a little stretch, but the dashing, yeah.
He said it was the nicest experience of his life. He said, those people were so knowledgeable and they helped me so much. And I went, wow, I gotta pass that along.
Oh yeah, that's Sportsman's Outfitter. It's a treat, you know, to work with those people. They're all so knowledgeable and just so good-hearted. Starts with Joe, and he's just as nice a guy as you're gonna find anywhere on this earth. And you know, boats have been in short supply. I'm telling you, he's had one of the best years he's ever had this year. Selling boats, and it's just hard to get enough of them to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But they are getting a few more in now, late season. But you know, so the deals are as good as it's going to be. And then they've got the Jackson Kayak line too, and definitely need to check those out if you want to get away from a crowd. And there are a lot more people out on the water this year than I remember in a long time. A lot of people got sick of, you know, couldn't work and got sick of sticking around the house, and they got out on the water and
went after it.
Yeah, right. But there's a ton of city and county lakes around Kansas and Missouri, and if you want to get away from the crowd, get you a kayak. Jackson Kayaks are the ones if you want to fish. I mean, they they are the most stable in the industry, and that's what you want.
If you want duck hunt out of one too,
well, that's
not too far away. They got a camouflage model.
Yeah, very true, very true.
I know.
But they've got some that you can pedal, some that you can put a trolling motor on, and they've got the one that's my favorite. It looks like a little catamaran. And you step down onto it. You sit on top of it rather than sitting down.
You're
into
not
it.
As agile as you used to be. You need something to step on.
Right. No. I don't know that I ever was very agile, but definitely not anymore.
But, Mark Tobin is a walking stitch, ladies and gentlemen. Falls off of docks.
Oh, okay.
How could you fall off of a fishing dock?
I've managed to do that several different ways.
What happened?
Well, it just depends on the time. I mean, there was
libation.
No, that had nothing to do.
Nothing
with it.
To do with it.
No. That's my story anyway.
Yeah, you just...
I had one time I was just...
Zoned out?
Well, I had my catfish rods out like I normally do and getting a bite and ran down from... I can see my fishing rods from my deck and went running down there. Well, it had been raining and the dock was slippery. So I got down there and hit the wet dock and flipped up in the air and hit my side on the edge of the well and did a flop into the water.
That would have made a good video. Video, yeah.
I was trying to put some 2x4s, like stake beds, in my well, and the water was low. This was in February, and there was a little skim of ice on the water,
mm-hmm.
and I had chest waders on, and I'm bending over trying to push this 2x4 in, and the 2x4 came off the bottom and floated, and I was putting downward pressure on it, which I just went head first into the water, somersaulted underneath the water.
Cold, wasn't it?
Yeah, I came out hard. I couldn't say I was okay because I was just gasping for air.
But would that be a time when you'd have to imply shrinkage?
There was, it was like a sex change operation.
Yeah, it was shrinkage.
I went from he to she.
Yeah, shrinkage. I don't know if a lot of women are aware of that, but there's shrinkage.
You yes, know. It's not anything we like to brag about.
Whatever you got to tell yourself there, Mark.
Yeah.
Our producer gets an attaboy for that one. Shrinkage.
That cold weather's tough. Yeah.
Oh boy, when you're duck hunting, you know, and you fall in. I have shrinkage.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a turtle.
Disappearance, yeah, right. Not just shrinkage.
I usually get shrinkage out of water too sometimes. So
you know. don't be saying that.
That is way too much information.
This is a family show and you're not supposed to be
my apologies.
It's okay. The deal, so.
I forgot.
Speaking of family shows, we did a show, it was a Saturday before last. Last Saturday we did a rerun with Steve Rinelli.
Right.
But we had Todd Pearson on with SARS USA, pistol company. I don't think I've ever got so much feedback. I went through this phase of I shot a lot of pistols, and then I quit it, and for years didn't shoot. I had pistols, but I never shot them. And then when I got to SARS S9 and started shooting again, I discovered a whole different world. A lot of people out here that have guns, have pistols, shoot LIGs, they shoot at targets. They're just happy. You go down to that range and them the happiest people you've ever been around, just hear the bang of a gun. Would you classify them as heathens because they own a gun?
Never.
Never? You would never do that?
Oh, heck no. Farthest thing from the world.
Yeah, and they're just the salt of the earth, good people.
Absolutely.
And just because you got a pistol in your hand doesn't mean you're a heathen, you know, or a fishing rod or whatever. But these guys shooting these pistols are just in their own world, their own lake. They're not hurting anybody. They're having a good time. You know, it's what it's all about. You know, life is a lot of enjoyment. And so I pull out the 9. I told you about this, but when I started shooting it, they gathered around me. You know, I can't hit a Buick with a pistol. And I was hitting a hubcap on the Buick. I was doing good. And it enticed them. And a couple guys came over, can I shoot that? Can I look that? Sure. Ended up shooting 300 rounds of ammunition.
That's crazy.
And it cycled every time, you know. And then when we had Todd on, they were talking about they shot it 30,000 times without a misfail. 50,000 times they had one that didn't eject properly.
Yeah, that's insane.
I mean, you're talking about
dependable. And the price is right.
The price, they're about a third of the price of what anybody. If you can get your hands on one, that's the problem. You know, right now, gun sales are up 114%, and theirs, what he said, quadrupled, I think.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And because of the value for the money, dependability, their sight plane is good old common sense, and you can line it up better. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, it's sarusa.com. Go to their website. I don't know. I've got so hooked up on it now, I peruse it almost every day, and it doesn't change. Their website doesn't change that much. But I just like, they got one real pretty stainless steel with pearl grips on it.
Oh, I've seen that. Oh, my gosh, that is gorgeous.
I ordered it, but I ain't going to get it. But I'm dreaming about someday I'll be a knock on the door and say, here's your pistol.
How do you go about getting one?
Well, you go to a dealer and request it. That's about what it is. And good luck. You know, they've just got their second wind. They're really coming on strong. You know, everybody knows Smith & Wesson, Colt, and all the Glocks and all that stuff. Well, these are basically the same, you know, patents and same durability, maybe even better with a SAR. And the word's getting out, but have patience. They will get you one. They're bringing them in like crazy. But, boy, I tell you what, demand is off the chart, and they're fun. You know, and I see people with their family out there shooting them with a pistol.
Cool.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's fantastic.
Better than sitting at home playing a video game.
Darn right. And so look into SAR, S-A-R-USA. You'll be tickled to death that you did. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We've got a big announcement when we come back. Put your feet up, grab you a cup of coffee, and we'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I've got a big announcement. I was contacted this week by the BBC.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. British Broadcasting
Corporation.
Corporation, yeah.
And I'm going to swell up. I mean, I'll be so important. I'm going to be a big deal, as they say.
Don't you know who I am? Yeah, I'm kind of a big deal.
I'm kind of a big deal, you know. But had a nice talk with that gentleman, and they're going to do a special about snow geese and hunters. And the guy said he finally realized that the hunters are the ones paying the bills.
And this is an anti-hunter.
This was an anti-hunter, and we had a long talk with him, and we are going to figure it out and going to feature what they want. Is, of course, would be almost impossible, but they want to get some film footage of an eagle killing a snow goose. Good luck. You know,
yeah,
you see
it,
but
it's
just
a lot of time up there to get that.
Oh, it's going to be tough. And so they called me and got the guy from Squaw Creek recommended me, and at Lois Mounds, I guess I should say now. But anyway, I had a nice long talk with that gentleman. So I just wonder, though, I got thinking about it. I wonder if they're still mad at us, those British people. You know, we dumped all that tea in the harbor that time, and yeah. I just wonder if they're still upset about that.
Well, you asked him that, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I said, how's the Queen doing? You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's just, he said, we're going to get along just fine. He thought I was crazy.
Well, he read you right.
Oh, okay. Boy, I'm going to swell up. I mean, this be a big deal, you know. I bet I don't make the show. I don't think they hardly ever feature a human on there. They might do my voice or something, but
they got a pretty big crew coming, don't they?
Yeah, big crew. And, you know, that thing is aired in Australia and Germany and Italy and all around the globe.
Oh, my
gosh.
You
know, the BBC. You know, it's a big-time deal. And there's a production company that's probably hired by the BBC, I'm sure. And the deal, I think that's what he rattled off. But anyway, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
You saw something that they had done.
Yes, I saw the show that they had done on BBC about Lois Mounds, Squaw Creek. And I was fascinated. I was perusing the channels, and all of a sudden there's this eyeball of a snow goose flying by the camera, you know, and I went, wow. And I stopped on it, and then I could see the background, and I knew darn good and well part of that's where we hunt. You could see the in the background of this thing. And it caught my eye, you know, immediately, and knew exactly where they were standing and how they filmed it and the whole works on the thing. And then to get a call from them.
Yeah, that's...
It's just bizarre.
How many people? How many crew?
Depends, but I know they're going to bring 5, maybe even more. I think they're going to do 3 trips. Might be as many as 15 different people come in on this deal.
Wow, that's
unreal. So it's going to be kind of odd. It'll be kind of weird to be a part of this darn thing.
Well, we need to make sure to give our listeners updates and find out where it can be seen.
Nobody wants to look at
you,
me.
Well, yeah. you've got both of us have faces built more for radio.
Yeah, what the heck, you know. But this is going to be kind of cool.
Oh, very
so
cool.
I'm going to get some 8x10 glossies made up, and I'm going to autograph them and sell them for $10 a piece. Now, you two yahoos in this building are going to pay $20 a piece for them, but it's okay. I'm going to become a big deal here for a little bit.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, cool. That's very cool.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
You know, I have a joke I can tell. I better get to know these guys a little bit better, but they might cut me off. But anyway, it was fun talking to the guy. If it doesn't happen, it was sure a hoot. Sure an honor.
Just talking to the guys.
Just talking to the guy and being, you know, to have him think of me.
Yeah, right.
On the deal. So it was really, really an awful lot of fun.
Cool.
On the deal. Another thing I thought I'd pass along, too, is the Missouri Department of Conservation is going to put, if Kelly Kirch is listening out there, they are putting on some GPS on hen turkeys.
Really?
Starting in January. And they got the little bitty ones now. You know, it used to be that was kind of a burden for to put on any bird. They were such big power packs and all this stuff, you know. Well, them days are over with. And it's a little bitty thing. And it looks like a backpack. Goes over their wings and onto their back. And in fact, they call it the backpack turkeys now. And so they're going to do this to see why in the world there's such a decline in wild turkeys. So it'll be interesting. I think I have the answer.
Predation.
Predation is I think, probably 80% of it, eating the eggs while they're on the ground.
Raccoons and
skunks
fox.
And foxes and coyotes and snakes eat the eggs,
yeah.
You know, and so it's going to be kind of interesting. Also, there's a study out, too, about the decline of the quail population. And one, of course, is habitat. But the other one is there's a little worm or virus bug-looking thing goes in their eye, and it crawls inside of them and croaks them, basically. Hatches a larvae inside their brain.
Bummer.
So we're going to try to get a hold of who all is doing that study. And see, we can't get him on the air. I think it'd be a fascinating thing to know why there is no, well, there's not near the quail.
No, and there haven't been for a long time.
Yeah. So I don't know, but it's going to be kind of interesting. And I'm supposed to ask you this question today, too. I got a gentleman listening, Davey's listening, and he said, ask Mark about Melfort. And I said, well, I should have called you and give you the heads up. Have you heard anything about Melfort?
Go? Yes.
That's good.
Yep. The white bass and the hybrids, extremely good. There's still some surface activity going on, and you follow the seagulls around. But we're getting to that time of year, not only just on Milford, but any lake that has white bass and hybrids in them. With the change of the weather and the cooling down of the water, and you get winds, you get any wind, just go fish windy points in any wind-blown bank. And a lot of those fish will just be within 1 or 2 foot of the shore. And it can just, it's really the funnest time of year for catching white bass and hybrids, but it's really, really good. Catching some smallmouth bass out there as well. I've heard of a few walleye being caught, but it's the whites and hybrids are just so good right now. Blue cat fishing is pretty good out there right now as well. That's kind of a world-class kind of blue catfish lake. I mean, there are just so many of them in there. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, really good. Tuttle is calmed down a little bit. There's catching a few out there, but not like Milford is, one of the best bets in the state of Kansas right now.
Quite a lake, kind of.
I love it. Yeah.
You know, and we've talked about this over the years, but boy, I tell you what, hybrid bite is as good as it gets as far as a fight.
Catching some out at El Dorado Lake and Truman Lake. Truman is just kind of, you know, without releasing water and putting those fish in specific spots because of the current. They're kind of scattered, but the guys that are using live bait, live shad, definitely doing better than the people using artificials. So that's something to consider. I mean, it's kind of a pain, unless you got a shad tank. It's kind of a pain to use live shad. There was a place, and it was out of Junction City, and there was a place here in town. Minnesota Bait and Tackle used to carry giant shiners. These are really big. I mean, like 3 to 4 inch shiners.
Whoa.
And that's just as good as a shad.
Yeah, well,
if you can find those, that's a great bait.
What if they still got them?
I don't know. I just haven't
Let's
been out there.
Them, get them out of bed. They're probably up. We got bait going.
Sure,
that's
I'm
more.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, they're out going after it, aren't they?
Yeah, you bet.
Minnesota Bait. Haven't been in there for years.
Yeah, I haven't either. It's a great place.
Great place. A really, really cool place.
Got everything you need.
You know, another place I haven't been in for a long time is Frontier Justice up here. I really like those people in there. I went in there and hung out with them a little bit one day. They're good people.
40 like Woods out in Blue Springs, another good bait and tackle store.
Yeah.
There's some good ones around town.
Do you remember used to be an inner city bait and tackle?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Where was that? It was on 50 Highway, maybe? No?
Was it 50 Highway?
I don't know. I can't remember now. It's been so many years ago. What a nice guy that guy was.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a long, well, many years since
I've been there. Long time ago. Yeah. Over by Independence somewhere, wasn't it?
Yeah, what West was that, Truman Road or
Truman Road?
I think it was.
Anybody out there knows, might call our producer and see what's going on. We're going to talk with Debbie Jackson. We're going to talk about Maxie the Goose, a 60-foot-tall Canada goose.
And we'll have to do the Bird of the Week when we come back from this break. Let Debbie hear the Bird of the Week.
Well, I don't know. He's trying to trick us again, our producer. It's just not like a normal bird. He's already given us a head up. We aren't going to get
it. He says he's got a good one. He's for the next couple of weeks, he's got good ones.
I got people complaining. They said, we want birds of North America that we can harvest. I said, kill, yes.
You can tell them we did them already.
Oh.
There's only about so many that we can kill.
Uh-huh.
And the longer that this show goes on.
144 species you can kill.
Yeah, they all sound the same, though. I can only put so many turkeys that sound like a turkey on there.
Now there'll be a lot of people argue with that. You know?
Yeah, well, I'll have them call into this show, and they can argue with me all they want, but they ain't going to get nowhere.
Okay. You're pretty bullheaded, aren't you?
I am. I take pride in this. I you know, this is kind of my baby, the Bird of the Week. We didn't do this before I got here.
Are you from Kansas?
I am from Kansas, born and raised.
Okay, that's why. Okay.
Okay.
Ching, ching, ching. Oh, well. Hey, we got to take a little break before we do that. We are brought to you by King City Lumber Company, kingcitylumber.com. You're the last human on the face. There's hadn't been their website. You need an outbuilding, garage, loafing shed, barn for your combine. There's nobody finer, and I mean this from my heart. I've known these guys for a long, long time. They're upstanding citizens, great humans, as we say. Anybody out of King City's got to be a good person, I think. I don't know that for a fact, but I bet there's no duds in King City. But kingcitylumber.com. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to have Debbie Jackson, 60-foot Maxie Goose. That's what I said. And the Bird of the Week. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Midwest Outdoors. We are sponsored by LuckySnipe.com. If you've not been to the website, you want to save some money on your outdoor expenditures, these are the weirdest websites you'll probably ever go to in your life. LuckySnipe.com. By the magic of the telephone, we've wrangled Debbie Jackson. Is she locked in here? Debbie, are you on there with us? Okay. No? Debbie Jackson, we're trying.
I am here.
Oh, there she is. Cool. Yay. We knew we'd get you.
I'm even awake.
Yeah, me too, kind of.
Barely.
Hey, we roped you into something. Now, you're going to have to give us a little slack here because we're going to talk about Maxie, the 60-foot-tall goose, which people will look at me like you are nuts, you know. But
well, you are kind of nuts, Fred, because actually Maxie is not 60 feet tall.
So 40.
It's 40 foot tall?
This wingspan is 65 feet.
Ah, it's close.
So Maxie does have a 65-foot wingspan. She's 4 stories tall, a 2-ton bird, and just so beautiful, and we need to restore her. So that's our mission.
We're going to work on that for you right now. But right now we do what we call the Bird of the Week. So hang on here. You're going to help us identify this bird, maybe, Debbie. Hey, here we go.
Okay.
Right. Well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird.
Here we go.
My producer's gone nuts. What?
Was that it?
That sounds like Fred waking up in the morning.
What? Am I supposed to get this? I'm really. Is this
that's
really
a bird?
Is that a bird? That's the same thing.
Roll.
Let's hear this again.
Roll. Well, it should be a Canadian goose. That's what we're talking about. So that's my guess.
What in the world?
Where's this bird? South American bird or something?
That I have no idea. I just thought. I think it's so funny, Mark, that it sounded like you because that's what I thought.
Sounds like Fred on the Fred on the toilet.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, I can imitate it pretty good.
Yeah. That sounds like come here.
What kind of bird is that? We give up.
So, Debbie, do you got a guess?
She said a Canadian goose.
Yeah, Cam the Goose.
Cam the Goose.
Close, but not at all.
Oh, we're
so this is called a great potu.
Potu.
Otherwise known as the Nycticebus grandis.
What's the limit on them?
As long as you don't get caught, probably a lot.
Well, if you have a migratory game bird, I don't know. You know, is it a migratory bird, do you think?
The bird?
No, you don't
know. I have no idea. Yeah, you're asking the wrong guy.
That was bizarre.
That is a bizarre
bird. That's a
good bird.
One. Yeah,
what's the name of it again?
Great Potu.
Great
Potoo.
Debbie, you never got this.
I thought it sounded like Fred waking up in the morning.
Yeah, I've never heard of the Great Potu. So thank you for enlightening me on
that. You are welcome. That's what I'm here for.
I woke up early for this.
Yeah, right. We got three listeners. We're doing great.
Awesome.
Hey, Debbie, now this bird, now we got to talk about Maxie the Goose. He's in Sumner, Missouri. Is this correct?
Yes. So Maxie the Goose, and I guess we tend to think of it as a her. I don't know why. Probably neither one. But, you know, this all got started, Fred and Mark. Actually got started back in the 70s. My father, David Jackson, went to the Kansas City Art Institute. He got a degree in sculpture there. And as he was graduating from the Art Institute, people from the town of Sumner, Missouri, which is about a two-hour drive northeast of Kansas City, so you're getting up near Chillicothe, that area, it's located right next to the Swan Lake National Wildlife Refuge. And so the town of Sumner has always been known as the wild goose capital of the world. And it was just a huge mecca for hunters, naturalists, and that sort of thing. And so back in the 70s, Canada, up in Canada, they had a statue of a goose that at the time was the world's largest goose. And the town of Sumner, they decided they wanted to best them and make a bigger goose. So they commissioned my father to build this monument. And so he did, and they commissioned him to build this, the world's largest goose. And it was also during the bicentennial time, so they had a grant, and they got donations from hunters, and they created this goose. So it's massive. It's made out of a steel frame, and it's covered with fiberglass, and it's on a pivotal base that will actually turn with the wind. And I remember as a kid, my father had an art studio in Westport. And I can remember him making the giant wings and the pieces of Maxie. And It actually had to be flown with an Army helicopter this summer because it was so big, it couldn't be trucked down there. So it was actually airlifted to Sumner. It was quite a – my dad was great at, you know, being a spectacle. It was just awesome.
Wow.
So, you know, I grew up with this eccentric, artistic father, and, you know, doesn't every kid have a 40-foot-tall goose in their family?
Yeah, right.
So I didn't really think much about it until my father had passed away in 2013, and I was writing his obituary. And that's, I guess, when it hit me, and with the internet, I realized, wait a minute, my dad made the world's largest goose. Like, if you Google world's largest goose, you see my dad's goose all over the internet.
That's actually so cool.
Right. And I never realized that until, you know, I was in my 50s. I'm like, wow. So my dad had passed, unfortunately. So that kind of started the journey. My sister and I, we were like, well, and my baby sister, Denise, who couldn't join us this morning, but she said, you know, when all that was going down, I was little. I didn't get to go to Sumner. Like, I went to Sumner when I was like 12 years old for this whole thing. And, so anyway, we took a road trip because we wanted to see what state the goose was in. And we realized that Maxie really needed help. And the people of Sumner, you know, they love Maxie. It's done so much for their community.
Sure.
But it's a very small town, very limited funds. And so we asked them if we could come alongside them and help them raise the money needed to restore Maxie. Mm. And so that's been the journey we've been on since about 2017 is when we got geared up with this, when we realized that we needed to help them, you know, to not only at first, you know, Fred, at first it was about preserving our dad's legacy, you know, like this is cool, you know, this is something.
Yeah.
But as we've gotten into the project more, we've come to realize it's not just about our dad or us or our family. Maxie really belongs to so many people.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. For over four decades, families and hunters have stopped and looked at Maxie. And what do you think everybody does when you're standing in front of the world's largest goose?
call to it?
No. Got
to take a picture with it.
Take a picture with it. And we have had so many people sending us family pictures of them and their kids with the goose. And it just made us realize how much Maxi just belongs to everybody and just brings such joy to everybody.
Wow. I know my first hunting experience was out there, and that first thing my dad did after we were done was take me to see Maxie. I'll never, ever forget it. I'll never forget it.
Right. I mean, it makes such an impression. So,
I heard about it. I was on 36 Highway. I think I was working for an archery company at the time, and I thought, well, you know what? I'm so close. I'm going to drive down and see it. It's many, many years ago. And I just stood there with my mouth open. Everybody thought, well, what an idiot that guy is. But I don't think I was the only idiot that would stop and take a look at this thing. And at that time, it would. Does it still turn in the wind? At that time, it would.
Yeah, it does. We've been working on that. There's a shaft metal mechanism in there. So that's one of the things we're working on. And then, of course, the it's covered with fiberglass, and that is deteriorated in some spots. And so those are the things that we're working on. And it's just been quite an ordeal. My sister actually got to go inside Maxi when we had an engineer report. We had an engineer inspect it, and she got to go inside there. And she actually found some artifacts. You guys will appreciate this. She found some old Hams beer cans. That was my dad's brand.
Good as spot as anyone.
I
don't know.
Debbie, I just got a text from the former producer of the American Outdoorsman, Rob Fanning. He said he'll donate $100 to help repair Maxie.
Oh, God bless him.
Wasn't that nice
so
of Rob to do that?
Yeah.
Well, that is fantastic. Well, we have two ways to donate. If you don't mind, I can go ahead and get that
out. Sure.
So one of the things we did is we started a GoFundMe page. And it's still there, and that's an easy way to make a donation by credit card. And that's where we've gotten a lot of our donations. You know, we were thinking, we need some big corporation to come in and really foot the bill. But, you know, honestly, most of our fundraising has been $25, $50, $100, from people like your former producer who, you know, just have a warm feeling about it. So if you go to the GoFundMe.com, and it's GoFundMe.com/World's Largest Goose, and no hyphen in there, just World's Largest Goose. And so if you search for that on GoFundMe, that's our site where you can donate by credit card. And then we do also, we are actually a 501c3 nonprofit. Yeah, so what we did is we connected in Sheraton County, where Maxie is located. They have a community foundation that we were able to set up a fund in there. And so that's where checks can be mailed. If there is that large corporation out there that just wants to get a hold of me and say, yeah, we'll foot the bill, please do.
Yeah.
And
really?
And I can, what I can do is put on your Facebook page, if you'd like, that information if you want to donate by mailing a check to the fund. And that is a tax-deductible donation if you do that.
Yeah.
So those are the two ways to directly donate. We also have a little fundraiser going on with masks. You know, if you have to wear a mask, you might as well wear a Maxi mask. And these are awesome masks that have a little logo of Maxi.
I must have one. I've got to have one.
You got to have one.
You know, these are actually excellent masks, too, I can tell you that. So you can learn more about that on our Maxi. By the way, my dad's goose has her own Facebook page. So go to Facebook.com and, again, search for World's Largest Goose, and you'll find Maxi. Just real quick, you might be wondering why we call her Maxi, because when my dad was researching this and he found the Latin name for the Canada goose, and it's like Maximus blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So Maxi for short.
Yeah.
Maxi. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's
it's
cool.
Been so awesome. Yeah, you know, and one of the things, too, it's been kind of funny. I've looked for help from other World's Largest Things. So I've actually connected with the World's Largest Ketchup Bottle, which is in Collinsville, Illinois.
Why not?
And I got help from the World's Largest Pecan in Brunswick, Missouri. And because there are other things like this, iconic roadside attractions that have had to be restored. You're laughing, but it's true.
No, it's cool. It's very cool.
With such a help.
Wow.
I love it.
Fantastic.
Why not?
The former world record that you had mentioned, that was in Wawa, Ontario. It was 22 foot tall with a 20 foot wingspan. What are the dimensions again of Maxie?
Oh, we really doubled that. We're 40 feet tall. Wow. And a 65-foot wingspan.
That's crazy.
You know, here's the weirdest part. You flew this thing up there with a heli. It was built here in Kansas City, right?
Correct, in Westport.
And so yeah. then Westport, I bet that was a hoot.
Yeah, it was.
And take this thing by helicopter. Can you imagine some guy sitting in his duck blind, and all of a sudden here comes this goose, and you go, and they, you know, goose hunters sometimes tip a little, you know, a little libation. So then they get back to the family. They said, "You aren't going to believe this, but I just saw a 40-foot goose fly by. We all
right,
shot
Dad,
at
sure.
him, but nothing happened."
Yeah.
Debbie, tell me again how I can get one of those face masks.
Yeah, so if you go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/world's largest goose, I have the link right there where you can link and get that. For every mask that is sold, they will donate $5 to the Maxie Fund.
Cool.
And then my friend who does the masks, she also donates an extra mask to an organization. So when you buy that mask, not only are you getting, and it's truly one of the best quality masks. I had bought several for my company because she can put a logo on it for you. And I've been wearing them now for a couple of weeks because here in Kansas City, you have to wear a mask everywhere. And they're really comfortable. If it go, I mean, if you have to wear a mask, then at least you want something comfortable. But go to facebook.com/world's largest goose, and you can see the link there, and you can get one of these masks. And then when you wear it, people are going to ask you, because it's got a really interesting logo on it, people are going to ask you about it, so you can tell them
yeah.
about Maxie, the world's largest goose.
Okay.
And so it's been really fun, and just little things that I've learned about the goose that, again, because I was a kid when it happened, I didn't realize some of the things that we've discovered. Like Maxie's eyes are actually bowling balls. I did not know that. My
wow.
dad used 2 bowling balls to make Maxie's eyes.
No
Isn't
way.
That interesting?
Yeah. I would have never guessed.
Debbie, I got to ask you this question. How much Ham's beer would it take to build this goose?
Probably a lot. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, what a neat project. Something that you saw being built as a kid, and now, you know, not only for your dad, but for everybody else trying to restore this. What does it take to restore Maxie?
Yeah, you know, I forgot this little fact. So back in the 70s when my dad built it, they built it for $15,000. And now we've gotten a good solid bid from a company out of St. Louis. That's been the hardest part, actually, in the last year, is trying to find a company that can do this kind of work.
Build
I mean, there's
goose.
Not a lot of companies that work on 40-foot tall keys. willing to come to Sumner, which is kind of, you know, a little town in the middle of nowhere. And so we did find a company. Anyway, $50,000.
Yeah.
Mark and Fred, ooh, yeah, ooh. That's what it is now. 50,000 is our goal, but we've raised about 20,000 so far.
That's
great.
Most of that, again, from just individuals donating, you know, $25, $50,
$100. Cool.
We've gotten some large donations, and we've had some awesome fundraisers. One of our biggest fans of Maxie is a gentleman named Shad Singleton, and he's in Mora, Minnesota, and he makes calls, you know, like duck and goose calls, and they're beautiful. And so he just set up his own fundraiser about a month ago. He did the first annual Save Maxie Call Makers contest.
How cool!
And he got beautiful calls that were submitted, and then they were auctioned off. He has raised thousands of dollars his own doing these. Yeah, and then he auctioned off a hunting expedition that people can go hunting with him and his group. So if there's anybody out there, you know, hunters, or, you know, you don't have to be into hunting or whatever you want to do, the town of Sumner, they did a barbecue cook-off and a dinner, and they raised money. So anybody out there that wants to hold their own fundraiser like that, please get a hold of me, and we'll help you promote it.
Wow.
And, we just appreciate that, because we got about 30 grand. We got 30 grand more to go.
If you have any fundraisers coming up, let us know, and we'll help you promote that for
sure.
So sweet. Thank you. Well, right now we're setting our sights on the Sumner Wild Goose Festival. Have you guys ever been there?
No. Not yet.
Okay.
When?
Well, it's coming up October 24th.
24th.
So it is coming up. It's always the last weekend in October, or well, I guess this would be the second to last weekend. But October 24th is the Sumner, and they are having it. COVID did not steal away the Sumner Wild Goose Festival this year.
Great.
Yeah. So it's your iconic small-town festival. You have to go. They have this cute little parade that goes down the two blocks of Main Street. They've got a gooseberry pie auction. Oh. You can see the Goose Queen. They crown the Goose Queen.
Oh, my.
It's just the best little festival. So we're going to have a booth there as well, talking about NACSI and promoting the fundraiser.
Is that a Saturday?
It is a Saturday.
What time?
It gets started in the morning. You know, I think a lot of folks come in actually Friday night. There may be some activities Friday night, but early Saturday morning, you know, 8, 9 in the morning, things get started, and it goes all day long.
Let's go.
And let's go, 24th.
We'll be there. I'll be there for sure.
Fred and I will be there.
So
we'll just be there on a deal.
Well, you should anyway, you know, with your talk show. Get to talking to people and let them know about your show.
Yeah, there's three. We got three listeners. We're doing great. But anyway, we'll be there on 24th.
Yeah, let's do it.
And let's just
I'm
do
serious.
It. And
we'll be there.
When we leave the station, we'll just drive on up there and hang out in beautiful downtown Sumner.
That's awesome. You will enjoy it. So we usually get a lot of donations there. We collect donations there. Connection with that, because of the Trails to Rails, there are some great bicycling trails out there. I think it's called the Brunswick Trail or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's a group called, they do a ride called the Wild Goose Chase Gravel Grinder on bicycles and gravel. I'm a cyclist, but I don't do gravel.
Yeah.
I might try to do this. But they do a 80-mile race with a cash prize payout.
Debbie,
and then a 50-mile casual ride.
Debbie, there's some strange people up that way every day. Men are men, sheep are nervous. That's a weird community.
That's a lot of ground.
Oh, my goodness. I've hung out a little bit at Sumner, you know, and it's a different kind of humans again. So the 24th, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great.
Well, and I'll tell you, Debbie, outdoors people are some of the most generous that I've come across in the world. And so let's put a call out to all the outdoorsmen out there. Let's save Maxie.
Debbie, we're out of radio time, kid.
All right.
I appreciate you. So go help Maxie.
We will.
40-foot tall goose, ladies and gentlemen. You got to see it to believe it type thing and dedicate a little money to it.
We love that little two-ton goose.
One more time, how can people get more information and donate to Save Maxie?
Thank you. You can keep up with us and order the masks on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/world's largest goose. And you can make a donation on our GoFundMe page at gofundme.com/world's largest goose.
Awesome.
Debbie, thank you for getting up and joining us. I hope we can come up on the 24th. We'll just figure on it and be tickled to meet you. I want to meet you.
Well, you've got to meet my sister, Denise. Fred, she was so excited about your show and being. She wanted to be on with me so much this morning.
Yeah.
So
you
have to come see Denise.
We'll do it. Right. Get her on. We'll do it again.
Yes,
absolutely.
We will. Yeah, we'll get.
Thanks, guys.
Do it again. All right, Ken.
All right.
Thank you.
Best of luck to you, Debbie.
Best of luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What a nice lady.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, what a cool deal.
That's a cool project.
You know, that just brings me back to my childhood, and that made a big impression on me. I loved that big goose.
Yeah. So, and Westport, I mean, right up here in Westport where it was
built. I did not know that.
It up with a helicopter. It's quite a story.
Would you like to have seen that?
And it would have been a hoot.
Bowling balls for the eyes?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, it's just a strange deal. I remember the first time I saw it, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I know, right?
He just
you didn't realize it's the largest in the world.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, what the heck.
Very cool.
Hey, we are brought to you by Reed Chevrolet. I got to hunt with Trevin Reed yesterday for a little bit.
Oh, did you? We didn't even talk about the teal season.
There was one opening day, and then that was it, and they got educated, and then away they went somewhere. They're on the refuge. They're flooding a lot of millet over there. But anyway, I got to hunt with Trevin yesterday, and we stood there and talked about his experiences in Fallujah and all the things he went through in life, and I thought, I kept my mouth shut. I just listened. And what a guy. Good American. Needs support from the community. He got a Chevrolet store up in St. Joseph. If you're going to buy one, why not buy it from a veteran? And just good, honest, straight-up people. and just want, they don't want to rob you of your money. They want to earn it. They'll do a deal. If you don't like the deal, tell them you don't like the deal, and they'll cut it maybe. I don't know. They'll work with you any way they possibly can. Starting to get some inventory back. Starting to get a few trucks. All the problem is an 8 or 9 hit the ground. 8 or 9 of them got sold, you know. But they can dealer trade, and they'll find whatever you're looking for, and they're going to save you a sack of money.
And treat you with respect. That's just, it's so refreshing. Non-commissioned salespeople, and they appreciate you.
Yeah, you really get that feeling. Any business Reed's got their name on, they have several dealerships. You can trust them, 110%. Well, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors.
That almost sounds like the incomparable Angela Jarvis. I know it's not.
No, but it's getting close. Isn't it? Do you think I'll swell up when I do this BBC thing?
Oh, you got a pretty good head on your shoulders.
Don't think I'll,
you're pretty well grounded.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nobody will ever see me anyway. Well, I like that song. Am I old? Does that sound that old?
Yeah, this is from World War II.
That's World War II. I must have been there.
That's pretty old.
Pretty old, isn't it?
And Mark, just before we leave, her name is Ann Shelton.
Oh, okay.
But this is a song called I'll Be Seeing You, and it's been performed by many artists.
I guess we'll be seeing you. Yeah.
Appropriate. Like song.
Yeah. I like, come to me.
I couldn't do it for a third week.
He didn't like my Japanese farewell song either. So. He's kind of hard to get along with at times. Got to go this week, ladies and gentlemen. Next time we see you, I hope we see you in our great outdoors.
Have a great week. We'll see you. So long, everybody.
I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing